Thanks a lot for inviting me and in your interest in Swiss immigration policies. I can assure you that that this is a very hot topic in Switzerland. It's always a hot topic, but it's especially hot right now because, as I will show you, there is a certain tendency to have a strict regime change due to a popular initiative that was accepted at the beginning of this year. I will come to this in my talk. Let me first start with some numbers, just to give you a little impression to show you that immigration is really extremely important for the Swiss economy. Then, about the Swiss immigration policy regimes, we can at least learn a little bit about the history, from the history of Swiss immigration policies, about what works and what works less. Then I will come to the economic effects of free movement of labor. As you know, as you maybe know, Switzerland has an agreement with the EU on free movement of labor. I'll give you some flavor about the research that has been done to show the economic effects. Then I go to this regime change of 2014, which is very recent, and we yet do not know what will be the result of this. And finally, some conclusions. So maybe let's start with some numbers, just to give you an impression on how important actually foreign workers are in Switzerland. They are very important. We have a high share. One thing you can look at is the share of foreign-born people in Switzerland. And that's just compared with some countries. The USA, it's about 13%. In Canada, it's about 20%. In Australia, it's 27%. And in Switzerland, it's a little bit more even. So the share of foreign-born people in Switzerland is very, very high. Another issue, another way to look at it is that we have strong immigration throughout the last decades, but we clearly have a strong recent increase of immigration, which is clearly linked to the free movement of labor treaty that we have with the EU. The average immigration, the overall average immigration in the years 1982 to 2002 was about 90,000 per year. Just to give you the flavor, Switzerland has a population of a little bit more than 7 million. So about 90,000 per year. In 2002 to 2012, since we have this agreement with the EU, it's 120,000 per year, which is about the population of Bern. Bern is the Swiss capital city. It's not the biggest city. Zurich is clearly bigger, but it's the capital city. So just to show you that as a reference value. Of course, this is average immigration. Now let's look at net immigration, the balance of migration. And here you clearly see that we have a lot more immigration than emigration. Again, in the same period until 2002, we had about 25,000 per year more immigration than people leaving Switzerland. And in the recent years, it was 60,000 per year, which is really a huge number, even if you compare it with other countries, compared to the overall size of the population. So given these numbers, it's not very surprising that this is a huge topic in the political discussions in Switzerland. A last slide on the numbers. Where do the immigrants come from? We clearly, part of the immigration was always driven by the people who came for humanitarian reasons. But in the last years, it more and more got to the economic determinants of immigration. You see here, for example, the Balkan states and Turkey made out a big percentage of immigration in the 90s. And since we have the free movement of labor, we have a clear increase, for example, from Spain and Portugal, and especially from Germany. German immigration was very, very strong in Switzerland in the last years. So this just to give you some numbers. Now, what is the immigration regime? As you certainly know, Switzerland is not a member of the EU, so in principle, we can just determine our immigration policies ourselves. But of course, we are in the middle of Europe. We are extremely dependent on the European Union. Two-thirds of trade is with countries from the European Union, so it's only theoretically that we are free to choose our immigration policies. So the regime between 1970 and 2002, so before the free movement of labor, was we had numerical limits for specific groups of migrants. We had quotas for specific groups of migrants. Then we had the regime between 2002 and 2014. I will give you some more detail later on. The situation since 2002 until recently was the free movement of persons with the EU. And now the regime after 2014, given this popular initiative that was accepted, we have to go back in a way to numerical limits, and it's for all groups of migrants if we really take it seriously. we have to take it seriously what the population has decided here. Now, a little bit more detail on the regimes, because I think there's some research in Switzerland that shows that you can learn on the economic impacts of these different regimes. The regime between 70 and before 2002 was clearly a regime of quotas, and it was quotas per economic sector. And what we saw is that theoretically, of course, you can allocate the immigration by economic determinants. You can say you just want to have the highest productivity people coming to Switzerland. But this is theory, and the political reality was that it was not the most productive firms who got the immigrants, but it was the politically most connected sectors that really got high quotas for immigration. So we had a lot of immigration of low-skilled workers, especially for agriculture and other low-skilled part of the economy. And the consequence, as I said, is low-skilled immigration. And what we really observed is that a lot of people immigrated, for example, to agriculture, and then after 2 or 3 years, when they changed their status, they were free to go to other sectors of the economy. But the problem was, of course, these people were not particularly well educated to go in the pharmaceutical sector or to go in other strong sectors of the Swiss economy, because basically they were low skilled. So to make it graphical, you see here, the idea was we had immigration to some specific sectors, and then after a while these people moved to other branches of the economy, which is economically an extremely inefficient way to organize your immigration. And it's of course not what was the basic idea of economists and of people who tried to influence this system, but it was the political reality. It was just the politically strong sectors, they more or less got a huge part of the immigration. And just to jump to the conclusion of my talk, a big fear now is that we get back to this old system now, that we have put into question the free movement of labor with the EU. Now the regime since 2002, that's the one that you certainly know well, it's the free movement of persons vis-a-vis the EU and EFTA countries. It's an integral part of the bilateral treaties with the EU. Integral means that we have a lot of bilateral treaties with the EU that gives our companies access to the internal market, but they are politically linked to this free movement of labor. Which means if we turn down the free movement of labor, a big part of these bilateral treaties, if the EU really follow through, will just be cancelled. So it's really a package where the free movement of labor is, of course, the politically most important, but a lot of other economic benefits are linked to this specific bilateral treaty. The idea is a freedom of establishment for EU EFTA migrants. If they have a job or if they have sufficient funds, they can come. So it's clearly driven. They have a big part of the people who come, they have to show that they have a job here. Then there is free movement. We have no limitations and no quotas vis-a-vis EU or EFTA countries. This regime was not always easy to implement. There were a lot, you know, Switzerland has a special political system with the possibility to put to popular vote changes in the constitution or in legal acts. And we had a series of popular votes on immigration policy with the EU. And until 2014, in all these votes, it was more or less accepted as the regime that we have, the free movement of labor. Now, just to have the same idea here, now the big advantage of this regime is, of course, that it's clearly demand driven by the labor market, and the people are immigrating where really there is a scarcity of people. And this completely changed the way that immigration worked in Switzerland, because we didn't have this low-skilled laborers coming to some specific sectors and then moving to other sectors. They went directly to the sectors where there were open jobs, and of course a lot of high-skilled people immigrated. I come to this point in a moment. Now to the economic effects of free movement of labor. Of course I could spend a very long time talking about this. I just give you a glimpse of some of the important aspects. What is really impressive is that this free movement of labor has led to an extreme increase of total hours worked in Switzerland. There was really a growth boost due to this immigration, and you see it here that the total hours worked, they increased from the beginning of this. Of course, there was an increasing trend, but then this trend, there was a stronger trend after the immigration of this free movement of labor. Actually, the immigration was even during the financial crisis, which hit Switzerland quite strongly as well. But we, even during the financial crisis, we had clear, huge net immigration. And this is one of the reasons why Switzerland is one of the, I think, one of the few countries that basically had no recession in the internal sector. Construction, construction investment and consumption had positive growth rates even during the financial crisis, which is very different to most other countries. Of course, we had a strong recession in Switzerland, but this was all due to export demand that was falling. But the immigration clearly led to this strengthened the economy during this different period. One thing that is, of course, always an extremely touchy issue politically is whether these people replace Swiss labor force. And you can simply look at this figure to show that this is not the case. We had a clear increase in the labor force. Foreigners in the labor force increased, but Swiss citizens in the labor force didn't fall. They even increased. I mean, it was not that strong an increase, the reason being that we already have a very high employment rate in Switzerland. So basically, if you look at the overall numbers, we do not see any replacement of Swiss workers. Of course, this doesn't mean that in some sectors this couldn't be different. But if I look at the research, there is very few signs that we have clear replacement of Swiss workers by foreign workers. It's really an expansion of the labor force in Switzerland due to immigration. And so that's, I mean, from this you could say, why is there a problem? Why does the population see a problem with immigration? Let's go through some important determinants of economic development. Of course, hours worked, and the fact is that the Swiss workforce, as the workforce in many other countries, is decreasing due to demographic, due to aging, basically. And of course, immigration increases the total hours worked, so it's in a way it can compensate to a certain degree this fall in the workforce in the longer run. That's certainly a positive consequence on hours worked. And this compensation of hours worked leads to the situation that we have a continued rise in GDP even if the workforce is shrinking. But of course the question is not so much what happens with GDP, but what happens with per capita GDP. I mean, that GDP increases if you have immigration, that's quite logical, but what happens to per capita GDP? And this is, of course, the question, what is the effect on average productivity? This is a research area that is quite active in Switzerland right now to look what was the effect of immigration on average productivity. And the results are not completely conclusive, but I would say there is clearly a tendency to say that the new wave of immigration compared to the earlier wave was positive for average productivity, which is, of course, very linked to the question, who was immigrated? Because what is the skill level of the people who are immigrating? And here we clearly see that the immigrants under the free movement of persons are highly skilled. From 1986 to 1994, only 15% of the immigrants were highly skilled. This goes back to the regime I described before, where a lot of low-skilled workers were immigrating. Since the introduction of the free movement of labor, half of the immigrants were highly skilled workers. So we clearly, what we can see from this is that it's very likely that we have a positive effect on average productivity, because not 50% of the Swiss people are highly skilled. So the structure of the immigrants is clearly towards the more highly skilled, which gives a positive effect on average productivity. Of course, another issue that it was mentioned before is the effect on wages. What's the effect on wages? There are some studies, I'll just give you one that is frequently cited. What we clearly see is that we have little pressure on the wages of high-skilled workers. We have some pressure on the wages of high-skilled workers, but not as much as was expected before we had this new regime. And the wages of medium and low-skilled workers even rises. So we clearly do not have the effect that the low-skilled are hurt by this wave of immigration, because the low-skilled more or less take advantage of the overall positive productivity effect that we have. And there is not a lot of competition coming in this sector of the economy. The competition is more coming towards the high-skilled workers. And if you look at the popular vote, we see that a lot of high-skilled people actually were in favor of changing the system, which gives a hint that they feel more threatened by this than we would like. The effects on unemployment, of course, is always a very important issue. Here we have different empirical evidence. There is some empirical evidence that shows that unemployment falls less quickly on the free movement of persons. So if we come in a recession, we get out of the recession, we have the reduction in unemployment is not as fast as it was before. But this study has been challenged by other studies, and I'll give you some results here. There is a recent study that shows that we have basically not a big effect or even no effect on unemployment. Of course, overall, Swiss unemployment rates are extremely low, and compared to other countries, we have very high employment, very low unemployment due to a very well-working labor market. So overall, I would say we certainly cannot say that unemployment has increased due to immigration. The results are mixed, but I would say certainly not a clear sign for increased unemployment. Then, of course, there are other effects. These other effects actually were extremely important for this popular vote, because there was a certain tendency in Switzerland to think that due to this strong immigration wave, that it gets more and more narrow in Switzerland. Let's put it that way. One thing, of course, is the effect of social security system. They benefit in the short term, I think this is clear. But what is really important as a perception more than as a reality is that there is a certain tendency in certain hotspots that immigration puts an upward pressure on real estate prices. And even more important, again as a perception, not as an empirical fact, is the pressure on infrastructure utilization. So the idea was always used during the preparation of the popular vote is that people do not have any space in the trains. Trains are full due to immigration, which is clearly wrong. I mean, you can show that it's wrong, but it was a perception that was very hard to fight, that we have full trains because we have immigration. So these other effects are less well researched than the other ones, but what we know about this is that it's certainly not a very strong effect in this respect. But again, this very strong immigration had a positive economic effect, but the perception of the population was more that a lot of foreign people were immigrating. And therefore there was this referendum on a popular initiative. Basically, the idea of this popular initiative, which was launched by the right-wing party that is in government, is Switzerland should, in the future, regulate migration independently. There should be a significant decrease of the balance of migration. You saw the balance of migration that is very high, 60,000 or more each year. And a limited number of foreigners should be allowed to stay in Switzerland using yearly maxima and numerical limits for different categories of immigrants. And big parts of the politician thought that, again, as in other popular votes, there will be a no in this vote. But to everybody's surprise, 50.3% of the Swiss people voted yes for this. So what is written here is now in the Swiss constitution, which means that we are now forced to have a complete shift of the regime. An interesting thing is, this is a map of Switzerland. The green parts are the parts that voted yes, and the red parts are the parts that voted no. The interesting thing is that in the rural areas where a lot of foreigners are, they had a tendency to vote against. So they were not for restricting it. And in the French-speaking part of Switzerland, that's usually the case, that the French-speaking parts of Switzerland are more welcome to foreign people. But the interesting thing is really that the less foreigners are in the region, the higher was the yes vote. There was a clear tendency for people to vote against, even if they weren't directly confronted by the Paris fact. Now, the question is, of course, now economically again, what is if this initiative is strictly implemented? Well, what it means is that some bilateral treaties will just have to be cancelled. This whole package of bilateral treaties that are linked to the free movement of labor, if the EU sticks to what we have in these treaties, we will have to just abandon them. This, of course, will lower the market access of Swiss companies. The market access of Swiss companies to the internal markets are quite well developed right now. It's really that there could be a situation where we go back to basically having a free trade agreement upon more with the EU, which would be a catastrophe for the Swiss economy. It would be a complete restructuring of the Swiss economy. And the free movements of Swiss citizens to the EU, something that is a little bit lost in the discussion about immigration, but is an important thing too, is of course endangered as well. That's why I talked a little about the regime in the 70s and 80s, and in a way it's the danger is that we go back to the system of the 70s. And the system of the 70s was that we have all very good ideas about how we could have efficient quotas where the highly productive people will immigrate, and there are a lot of economists now that come up with such ideas. But history teaches us that in the end it will be politics that this decides on immigration. And again, there is of course a strong pressure. Already now we hear pressure from agriculture and from other low-skilled sectors that they want to keep their part of immigration, and they will be quite strong in this. So there's a certain danger that we go back in history. And of course that this would mean comparatively low growth benefits of immigration. What next? Well, next will be negotiations with the EU. Of course, the EU says this is an integral part of the bilateral treaties, and we cannot negotiate on this. It will be hard for Switzerland to look what we can do with this, because then we have to look how we are going to implement the text of the initiative. I would say that in the end, there will be what is likely is that we will have a popular vote on the outcome again. But the question in the end will be, do we want really to restrict immigration in a way as the initiative wants, and accept that this means that the access to the internal market is more or less goes back to the 70s? So I think that's the most likely outcome. And this will most be, that will be the vote of the century in Switzerland. That will be the vote of the century. I come to the conclusions. We had low-skilled migration on the numerical limits and high-skilled migration on the free movement of people. The reason being that free movement of people, it's really demand-driven. The sectors that have high productivity have really an access to a very high pool of, large pool of skilled workers. We had positive effects of free movement of persons on Swiss wealth. We had no negative effects on Swiss wages and very little effects on Swiss unemployment. So from a macroeconomic point of view, it's a no-brainer. That's certainly a more efficient system than the system that we had before. Of course, the free movement of persons raised the balance of migration, and this raised these concerns about migration that led to the popular initiative. We have now an uncertain future in Switzerland due to this vote. The possible outcomes are strict implementation, which means numerical limits, and which basically means abandoning big parts of Swiss policies with the EU. We could try a mild implementation combining some kinds of numerical limits with free movement of persons, but if the EU doesn't play, if the EU is strict, this will not be possible. And of course, we just couldn't implement it. Well, we have to implement it because it's the constitution, which means we would have to have a second vote on it. So this interesting times for Swiss migration policies, and I hope I gave you a certain glimpse on it. Thank you very much.